Okay, we're going to get started here, and thank you for coming. And if we could just, let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Lord, many questions are coming about in our church houses because of laws and influence and culture. And help us today to get some questions resolved as we go through this. And Lord, we're short on time, but let us hit the salient points that we need to hit today and be available for questions throughout this conference. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you've got your outlines, I hope, there. And we have three panelists up here. Obviously, Dr. Gibbs needs no introduction. And my other two panelists said, well, all the questions are going to go to Dr. Gibbs, so do I even have to sit up there? But we also have Mike Lester, and he's in charge of academics at the West Coast Baptist College and knows a lot about education and any questions come up there. Ben Hobbs is the chief financial officer of all the ministries here. And so if there's any questions about legalities or any pointers on accounting or whatever, he's here as well. So I'm just going to hit this outline real quick because I want to get to your questions, and we have some that have actually been sent to us as well. But if you look at your outline there, just one quote there, ignorance is not compliance. And so don't think, well, there's a law passed, I don't really need to know it until something happens. You need to know what's going on in your state and in your community as far as laws. And I can tell you that laws today are not favorable to what we're doing or what we're trying to do. They're trying to protect certain segments of our society with giving no thought to religious freedom or any of the freedoms that we've enjoyed in the past. You must know those things. And secondly, the key is to limit liability of the church and protect the members, the visitors, and the staff. You need a safe environment for them to come to and to feel like they're safe. This was just last week in the USA Today. It was an article that I pulled off, and it's a church here in California. It says church leader sends shockwaves through California congregation. He had 26 felony counts, including child rape, trafficking, and child pornography that came out. By the way, it's interesting. There's a picture of Joe Biden there with this article. I don't know how that happened. But these things are happening, and so people are now feeling, I don't even know if I want to go to church. I mean, what's going on there? And so we're getting masked with all these other things that are going on. What we want to make sure is that we have a safe place. If you go to point one, two points here, laws vary from state to state. Know those things. And you should develop policies and train your people and to follow those policies, especially when you're dealing with children, with doing background checks. And if you need some information on that, we've got some here we can share. Christian Law Association has those as well. But be prepared, be protected, and be trained up with your people. You need to know what these things are as far as taking children to the bathrooms, for instance, or other areas. And I have a point there, reasonable cause. We have cameras all over this campus, because all you have to do is say they did that, and you need to be prepared to defend yourself against those things. Number two, payroll, a lot of laws there. Brother Hobbs is here in case you have questions about housing allowance, Social Security. We've had some people just join our staff recently, two I can think of, the last 2 years, who've come in and they say, well, this isn't how they handled the housing allowance where I came from. And that's probably because they're not doing it right. And so housing allowances and things like that, these are all conscripted by law, and so we have to be protective of that. Unrelated business income, you might have some businesses you have, and there are things that say you're tax exempt, yes, but do you have other income? Sales tax, property tax, real estate, those types of things, you just need to be aware and get counsel from somebody who's knowledgeable of those things, because these are important for your ministry. Point five, insurance coverage. Just make sure you're protected. And that last point there, release and indemnification forms. You have VBS, you have CAMP. Make sure you're protected. CLA has some great draft things that you can get your hands on in order to protect your ministry in case someone is injured. confidentiality of information. If you give counsel to someone or you find out some information, or if you're summoned to court and someone has given you something, do you know whether those things are protected or not? And that might come up here today. Copyright laws, very important. If you're reproducing music and using that and then making CDs, there are some laws there as well. Here's a new one you wouldn't have thought of a couple of years ago, but weapons in the church. Someone comes in with a concealed weapon, and should you let them in the church, or what are the laws around that, as well as maybe you have some security in your church and some laws there. Of course, weddings, who would have thought of that one as well? You might have a cemetery. There are laws around cemeteries and those types of things. So those, hopefully that'll spur maybe some thought as of some questions that you may have. And here you can raise your hand. We had a couple sent in to us as well. So I'm going to take the first one just to get this off and started. Here's the question. I would throw this to Dr. Gibbs. What do you do when a man who says he is a woman uses the ladies' restroom at your church?
Now, let me just start out by telling you, we get that call every week multiple times. So the chance of this coming to you is very high, and the numbers on this are exponentially growing. So you say, well, this is just a kooky, off-the-shelf, crazy thing. That'll never happen. It is happening, and the law's not treating it as something kooky. Here's how you handle this. Number one, you be dead positive that you got a great statement of faith that covers these issues, okay? The first place, you don't start at the restroom door. You start at your statement of faith and your bylaws. If we don't have it in the bylaws, we're fundamentally defenseless. So that we got to get the right wording in there and make sure that we can get that handled. Number two, then you got to train the people how to handle this. We tell them, our faith does not permit this to happen. Please don't do it. And you have your people trained as to how to address that. If they say, I'm going to do it, whatever you do, do not touch them. That's an assault. You will be criminally charged, and you will have a criminal record thereafter. You immediately call the authorities, the police, and they will come and remove the individual. It starts with the bylaws, making sure your people absolutely know how to handle this. Be polite, be courteous, but the statement is not that we don't let, if you'd hear the calls we get, we don't let blankety blanks do this, we don't let queers do this, you just get wrong. All of that will haunt you in a courtroom. You will come across looking horrible. What you want to say, our faith does not permit this. Please don't do this. You want to tell them once or twice, never touch them. And then tell them, if you persist in doing this, we're going to call the authorities right now and have you removed. Your church is private property. You have the right to remove them.
Okay, thank you. Here's another one that we had here. A visitor reports that their child was inappropriately touched while riding the bus. What do I do? Dr. Gibbs?
You immediately call the authorities. You turn it in immediately. When you call us, and we get this call every Sunday, we get it every Monday. This we manage our phones 24/7, 365. There is not a Sunday we don't get this. Sunday school, buses, camp, every time. You immediately call the authorities and put them on notice. The second thing you do is you contact your insurance company and make sure they're on notice, because what we don't want to do is have you start taking action that voids your insurance policy. Then what you need to do is get the person who the allegation's made against, bring them in, and be sure until it's resolved, you do not have them with children. Even if you think it's spurious, even if you think it's crazy, you have a duty to protect the kids. And the law will say, if you put that person back in there, the jury will hold that against you. So what you want to do is call the authorities, report it, okay? The suspicion. You say, I don't think it happened. The reporting laws do not cover abuse. They cover the suspicion of abuse. And the fact somebody made a statement, you're clearly already at the suspicion level. then the second thing you want to do is make sure that somebody at an appropriate time interval is going to notify the insurance company that an allegation's been made. And then the third thing you do is get that person removed from handling children until this is cleared up. And by the way, I've had to tell that when the person accused was a dear, dear friend of mine. I mean, he called me, David, how could you do that to me? You know. And I said, it's for your protection. It's for your protection we're doing this and the protection of the kids.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions in here? Yes.
You absolutely do the same thing. And by the way, this becomes very problematic when the allegations against the head pastor. And we get that one. We have a number of our lawyers from CLA in the room here today. And the bottom line is they will tell you, when the allegations against the pastor has to take the steps and back up and let somebody else handle this. Because he cannot handle it for himself. This is just everyday stuff now. Now, when I started practicing law 50 years ago, none of this happened. Now it's every day. And so we warn everybody, make sure you've got that person removed until this investigation is resolved. Does that answer your question on peer-to-peer?
I mean, even if it's another child to another child kind of thing, so you would...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought you meant handling at the top end. You're talking about at the abuse end. Right. No. You still turn it into the authorities, okay? It has become so legally thin, our protections. You understand, we fought for years to keep this off of the church, and we were very successful for 35 years. They wanted all of this on pastors and Sunday school teachers and everything 35 years ago, and we worked in legislatures and kept it off of the church. Now it's all unwound, and the churches are in. And so if it's a child on a child, you tell the authorities, you tell your insurance carrier, and make sure the parents know what has happened. By the way, if you're not going to call us, call somebody and have somebody take you through the points. And we'd be honored to do it for you. But there's other good lawyers in churches who we deal with and other good godly lawyers out there. Call somebody and have somebody say, take me through this point by point. That's important.
I think I just underscore, before you call CLA, call the authorities. That's your first call.
That is, if you call us and you have not done that, we will say, we want you to hang up with us, call the authorities, and then call us right back. That's how important that call is.
Yes. Questions? Yes.
Yes, and in about 2/3 to 3/4, because it's, you understand, we had pastors exempt everywhere, and that's been eroding, okay? And especially when somebody comes in, and in counseling and things of that nature, in the law they call it the penitent. When somebody comes in and tells you something they've done in counseling, or they're just under guilt and they tell you, the bottom line is, it's only now about 10% of the states protect that, and under very limited areas, very limited. And so we have to keep up in all the records we keep and everything. We have to keep up. The chance of that being protected is very thin. And even in the states, the jurisdictions where it is protected, it's under very limited circumstances.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you're leasing it, you're renting it for the church. Same thing holds. That is your private property. You absolutely have the right to do that. And I just want to caution, train your people up front. The thing that gives us the most problem is it caught our people flat-footed. Nobody thought it was going to happen to them, and so they didn't have anybody ready to handle it, okay? And so we got some wonderful usher who loves the Lord and is just irate over the fact that somebody would do this, and he becomes your mouthpiece. In court, all we're hearing about is what he did, and you made him an usher, and you didn't have anybody else trained to handle it. And so that's why it becomes imperative that you have your people ready and schooled on how to handle it.
Okay, yes.
When it comes to the wedding issue, I've heard a lot of different people give different advice on that, as far as some people will say they don't perform any weddings anymore in the church, you get married by justice and peace, and they'll sort of do the ceremony afterward, not officiate it. But what would you recommend, especially starting a church from scratch where you're writing the constitution and all that, as far as if you will marry people, who you will marry, members only, or how you avoid
You have every right to decide your own fate. We still recommend church weddings. You absolutely have the right to do it. But your bylaws have to explain who you are. You going to accept justice of the peace weddings for people that got before they were saved? Okay. We have ship's captains. People like to go on a cruise, and the captain of the ship marries them. That's a very popular one we run into. Are you going to recognize those? The question becomes, are you going to recognize same sex? And are you going to, and what about when they did it before they were saved? You've got to make your own mind up. Now, we will give you suggestions on all of that. We have documents to help you with that. But you have to decide. Okay? No, here's what the recommendation is. They're not married, okay, in your faith. And if you believe that it's okay for people to get married of the same sex, then you need to word that in your statement of faith. We've never had anybody agree to do that. And so the bottom line is we treat them as not married, okay? And if we have to go back and do some legal cleanup work, we will. You still have to report it. You absolutely want to go to who they recommend, the head pastor. Somebody needs to be the point person on it. But we have had that happen where they said, boy, I've been to them, and that they won't turn this in. And we say, what you must now respectfully do is tell them, if you don't turn this in because you're in harm's way on this, I will have to turn it in. So please, please turn it in.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
If you are going to rent out to the public at large, before you do any of that, you want to talk to us or somebody. Brother Hobbs here is expert on this type of thing. The bottom line is you got two problems. Number one, unrelated business income. You're now running a business. You're a renter, okay? And you're handing this stuff out. And then number two, what are the restrictions you're putting on it? When you advertise at large, you virtually lost your ability to discriminate on any of these things. So that's why you don't want to put something out there, you know, banquet hall, okay, and you put it to the public. You have to decide who are we going after and what are we going to let them do. And even then, you probably got unrelated business income. And let me just say one thing. He covered this. It's in your outline. the unrelated business income we have the most trouble with are fundraisers. Most fundraisers are illegal in churches. The law gives you three ways to do a non-taxable fundraiser. If you don't meet one of those three, it's all taxable. And when they come in, they will go after every bit of that with all the arrearage, all the penalties, and with extra tax on top of it. And the tax can be up to 70%. Okay, and you say, but we've already gone and spent all the money. Doesn't matter a lick. And if you have a question, Brother Hobbs is very versed in all of this. We have lawyers very versed in this. You have a lot of areas you can go to. By the way, if you go on the internet, you can get all this information. The only thing is, if you don't know the right terms to key into, you'll miss it. You got to know the legal jargon, and it's not fair. They don't want to put it in English. They want to put it in something that makes you need a lawyer or somebody. The bottom line is, you want to be sure with your fundraisers that you're meeting the three exceptions, because that's where we have by far the worst problem. And he mentioned the matter of the tax exemption for pastors on the parsonage and all of that. 90% of those that we see are blatantly illegal. Nobody meant for them to be. They just don't know how to do it. And again, Brother Hobbs, very clear in all of this. Our ministry would help you with this. The bottom line is, make sure you're doing it right. You say, but I did it in good faith. Doesn't matter a hoot. Not a hoot. If you dotted the I in the right place, you're in. If you didn't, you're out. Yes. No, you can make it where it's to people we invite of same faith, but the wording has to be, and they have to have the same belief structure you do. And you want to be careful. Sister churches in the same community can have different beliefs. These are unbelievably good questions. You want to ask these before you get hammered. No, it's the smartest. It's the safest.
Okay, yes, over here.
With mandatory reporting, what if in the setting of counseling, a young person tells you that there's problems at home and abuse and other allegations, but they're kind of confiding in you? Do you report that? How do you respond to that?
Yes. The answer is yes. let me go back. Here's the dilemma. You read the statutes, they all use the word reasonable suspicion. The fact that you're troubled means there's a reasonable suspicion. You understand? You gave it away in how you asked the question. Okay? I mean, some kid comes up to you and you say, oh, this kid's just crazy, he's high on drugs or something. No, if there's a reasonable suspicion, it is mandatory that be reported. And the kid says, now, if I tell you, this is why you want to watch. When someone says, if I tell you this, you won't tell anybody, right? You want to watch how you answer that question. What you want to say is, absolutely, unless the law requires me to. Because this one, and that's why you've got to know the mandatory reporter specifics for your state. Jonathan. No. 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 The statutes have broadened. And let me just explain this. They have so broadened them now that we can safely, with broad brush, tell groups, you're a mandatory reporter, because the exceptions are so rare in the 50 states that we're correct 99.9% of the time.
Same goes with elder abuse, too, by the way.
Same, yeah. Elder abuse has gotten very fashionable right underneath it.
I was with an elderly lady, and they were having some difficulty. I won't go into all the details, but as they started to, they were asking me for some counsel as far as the church counsel. And as soon as they got to the what was going on, we called the sheriff. First thing we did, and they actually took it over, and we came back. But it would have been a much different story if we tried to help them and didn't call the authorities as well. Yes, back here.
Well,
yes.
Right. So most of the postings have to do with minimum wage, kind of the standard that apply to everyone from a discrimination perspective, like same-sex marriage or someone who's not in compliance with our church statement of faith. Those are still you can still discriminate using not using the right word, but that's as of today.
That's
equality.
The law uses,
right.
You understand there's illegal discrimination and legal discrimination. The word discrimination carries both ways.
The Equality Act, I think Dr. Gibbs is exactly was trying to do that, to bring those groups into that protected class. So certainly that's still, for a church, that's certainly something. But I would certainly recommend posting the required postings. We post them here in a break room. It's kind of an out of the way area, but it is the law.
So you still post all of those, but then there's the legal discrimination that we have our bylaws and session covers. Is that what you're
saying?
Yes.
Be careful.
Be careful here. We get this all the time. You go on the internet and there's these companies that say, we can give you all the ones you need. This is what you'll need. And we have them all ready here, and you send us this amount of money, and we send them all to you. The government will give them to you for free. Okay? So don't end up paying the $300, the $500. I saw one the other day. It was $3,500. Okay? Now, I don't know what they can do to make it any. Nobody's going to read it anyway. Okay? I mean, when's the last time you looked at something that's got all this fine print and subpoints? The bottom line is, you can go online at .gov, and they're all available for free.
Yeah. Okay, right here.
Dr. Gibbs, this year we experienced two girls, high school, and they were working in our junior church area. One came out and said she's a transgender, and the other one came out and said she's bisexual. And so, you know, as an adult in our church, we take
The answer is yes. Number one, you have to deal with it, and this is the key. We want you here. You need the preaching. You need the teaching. You need the deliverance, okay? But if you're going to walk around here trying to influence other kids here and spread this, we will not allow that. And at that point, we will ask you to leave. We will forbid you to be here. You can't put those kids in with kids, because they're on a mission, okay, to try to make their, it's the goofiest stuff I've ever seen, but they truly believe this stuff. Somebody inculcated them, and what they want to do is get other people to believe it. So we want you to be here, but we absolutely are telling your parents and you, we will ask you to leave. Well, and we get where they do. You just, they're adamant with this stuff, and they're on a cause.
Yeah, we got time for one more question, and then, by the way, panel members are always available for till this evening for any follow-up questions or anything you may have, but I know we're out of time. Yes, sir.
I'd like to start a Christian school in our church. I see a collision with these vaccination laws.
Yes.
You want to jump on that one?
The vaccination laws are very delicate. We have parents who absolutely want you to vaccinate kids so their kids are not exposed to this stuff coming in. We have other parents who say, no, I don't believe these vaccinations are right, and more kids are dying from the vaccinations than are dying from the diseases, and we would be irresponsible parents to allow that to happen to our child. The law says you have a duty to keep a safe environment, okay? And at the point, you know, it's like this measles outbreak that we have right now. At the point, you have to make decisions as to what's a safe environment. And I want to tell you this. You are going to offend somebody. People are calling us saying, can you give us some magic wording? No. You've got to decide, are we going to require vaccinations or are we going to say no? We are telling everybody, the people on both sides of this issue are incredibly sincere and have great arguments both ways, okay? Now, and then what they do is they turn around and they say, well, did you vaccinate? And I mean, we get asked, and I say, yes, we vaccinated our kids. Nobody was even thinking about it because polio was raging everywhere. And I mean, for the Salk vaccine, you take a sugar cube with a little medicine on it and, you know, you don't have polio. But I want to tell you, the people on the other side, and we have defended nurses who they wanted to take massive vaccinations before they'd let them in. And these nurses said, under our faith, we just don't feel we can do that. And we got them protected. But I want to tell you, at the spot that an epidemic breaks out, the law is going to force it all. They're going to force it. And at that point, it's not good because parents who don't, they'll move to take the kids. We've had them already do some of that. I feel horrible. Brother Lester's got to tell you something. This is the brightest man I know, this dear man of God sitting right here. Brother Ben knows more about the tax laws than I would in five lifetimes. And I respect these men so dearly. And could we let Brother Lester, you pick a question and answer.
Yes.
What time is lunch? I'm fine. I just want to sit close to Dr. Gibbs and hear his answers. So this is the best seat in the house.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're talking about a Christian school, there are laws as far as, particularly when the kids get older, you know, what can be shared with parents and what's not. And you find in public education today, they're teaching kids and trying to get things, some indoctrination into the public schools without telling the parents. And parents still have some parental rights in the states. And so you must comply with law, but also understand that the parents are still in charge of the children, at least at this point in time as well. Just
the best friend of a godless education is a non-questioning parent. Mm-hmm. So if you've got kids, for whatever the reason, in the public sector schools, you better be asking questions.
So thank you very much for attending today. Just a couple of key things. Number one, a safe environment. That's what the laws are trying to do, but you're in charge of the environment that your families, your children are having in your church. Number two, make sure you're prepared. You have policies, you have training, you have bylaws, and your constitution are geared toward protecting you and your church members from these things. Number three, anything that happens on your campus, fill out an incident report right away. Don't wait, don't say, oh, that's minor, we won't do that. You get witnesses, you get the statements, and maybe nothing happens, and you'd say, well, I wasted my time on that. You didn't, because the incident that you don't document and comes up weeks, months later, and ends up in a lawsuit, you are way behind the curve. Fill out an incident report. Get it documented and get those things listed. And number four, take advantage of the CLA and other groups and attorneys or consultants, and in particular those who are Christian, because they're here to help us. They don't want us to get behind the eight ball and end up in court, and they want to help us and help you. We contact the CLA all the time here at Lancaster Baptist Church. They are our friends, and we are beholden to them for the many years of experience they have. And some of the attorneys are in the back here as well with CLA. They're here for your disposal to ask questions, and we thank you very much. Let's just pray real quickly. Lord, we do thank you for the knowledge that you give us. And Lord, we're trying to do your work, but there are folks that want to impede us, and most of all, that's Satan. We do ask for a hedge of protection as we pray on this campus every week for protection. We ask, Lord, that you would protect those ministries that are out there just preaching the word and trying to do good. But let us not be ignorant of the laws that are before us, and give us the wisdom to comply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you very much.